Blog Talk Radio.
Unlock the secrets to a revolutionary life filled with peace, power, and prosperity. Welcome to the Secret Temple with Robert Zink.
Welcome to the Secret Temple. We have a very special show for you today. And some of you are tuning in to listen to the show on the power of the four archangels. And my apologies to you, that show is scheduled for a future time. For some reason, I got it in my head that today was that particular show, but it is not on the archangels. But we will be doing a show on the power of the archangels. Tomorrow, I will be a guest on Mona Magic's show, and we'll be talking about the power of angels. We'll be talking about the Shemim Feresh. We'll be talking about the Kabbalah and all types of angels as we talk on Blog Talk Radio on Mona Magic. That is on her show tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio. But I'm excited to be here today. We have a wonderful show for you, and we're going to talk about the seven attributes every healer must have. I have some guests with me today that are going to join me. As we talk about these, we have Steve Randich, who is a master Ruach healer, one of the finest healers that we have in the area of healing. And we have Sue Randich. Are you both with me?
Yes, we're here.
I'm here, Robert.
Well, good. Glad to have you with me today. We were going to be talking about angels today, but we're talking about one of my favorite subjects. We're talking about healing. Well, we're talking about seven attributes that every healer must have. And these attributes are absolutely essential. But before we begin going deeper into the subject of these seven attributes that every healer must have, whether you're a Reiki healer, you practice EFT, you practice spiritual healing, makes no difference. Ruach healing. You need to have these seven attributes. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do at the Light and Healing Center there in the Chicago area every week? Every week you're involved in healing. Talk about it and some of the kinds of people that have come in with some of their illnesses and that kind of thing.
Well, we have 2 days a week, 2 evenings at the temple, where people are allowed to come in off the street, or people who know other people who are recommended to us. And we have a group of various healers there who come on a volunteer basis, and it's all free of charge. And we bring them into the room, and we ask them what their ailments are, and we perform specific healing on everyone that's there on an individual basis.
So how much of this healing work is intuitive in nature, and how much of it depends on just knowing specific things? In other words, you know that a person has this problem or this illness, so you know this is the kind of work you need to do.
Well, a good portion of it is drawn from the intuitive senses. Sometimes someone will come in with a specific problem and will address that, and in the course of that and of scanning their aura and their physical body, we find that there are a few other things going on, possibly something coming up for them that's just beginning to develop that we can take care of immediately. So the intuitive side of it is very important.
If we get a chance, we will talk to some callers. And, of course, the chat room is open if you want to join us on the chat room. But I want to go to the seven attributes that I believe every healer must have. They must work and cultivate these attributes, because without these attributes, you're just not going to make the progress you need when it comes to healing other people. And first off, there are different layers or levels of healing. there is spiritual healing, and then, of course, there is mental healing, there is emotional healing, there is, of course, physical healing, that's the most common, but there's also financial healing as well, so, or healing of needs. So we have all of these kinds of healing. Would you say that most of the people that come in to the Light Healing Center or come and want to learn, for example, Ruach healing, are interested in physical healing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Robert. Most of them have lived with, either personally or someone close in their family or someone they love who has had an illness that has devastated their lives, and they're looking for an alternative to what traditional medicine has offered, something that could even be incorporated with traditional medicine. And this works very well in that aspect.
Wonderful. Well, let's go to attribute number one, connection to the divine. Now, I don't think it's important from the position of healing what name you call the divine. You can refer to the divine as God, as divine source, as infinite light, as all of that. But you must have some kind of connection to divine source. We live in a world where we're intimately connected to every star in the universe, to every other human being on the planet, to the sun, to the galaxy, and to the invisible. Most of our reality is not visible. It's an invisible reality. It's kind of like an iceberg. There's only the tip showing to the natural mind, to the natural person. But most of our reality is below that. So, developing that connection, there's a lot of different ways. For me, I practice several forms of meditation, several forms of inner kind of an inner guide kind of method of opening up myself to that divine healing influx. Oftentimes, in the Western mysteries, we would simply refer to it as the divine white brilliance, the infinite light that comes from divine source. Opening up to that divine white brilliance is absolutely essential. Why don't you share with me, if you will, some of what you do in your own method for opening up to that divine white brilliance?
Well, Robert, before I begin any healing, I do the banishing ritual of the pentagram, which is a golden dawn ritual for clearing and balancing your sphere of sensation. Now, once I've done that, I'll go to my prayer room, where I have various pictures of holy people and candles and incense burning. And then I get myself into a deep state of meditation where I get myself into an even deeper trance state and then start to elevate myself to the higher planes. I don't do any chanting. Sometimes I do play some soothing music, some meditation music, but I do some vibrating. I'll vibrate specific divine names to help me to elevate. And that's just some of the things that I do to get myself prepared for healing.
So with you, and I think this is a very good point, It's not just a matter of bringing the divine white brilliance down. That's not the only thing that's important. It's a matter of elevating yourself as high as you can bring yourself to the divine or to divine source or to the infinite. Am I right?
That's exactly right.
How about you, Sue? What do you do?
Well, it's pretty close to what Steve said. I have a close connection with the Holy Mother with the Shekinah, and typically that's where I start after doing a vanishing. I begin with my connection with the Holy Mother and the Shekinah and the healing energies that I find so readily available to me there, and get into that deep meditative state where there really is no wall between spiritual and physical. And if you can reach that state and bring that to the patient, then you are able to cross that line into that part of them that really transcends the physical, but yet you can get to the disease very easily.
Okay, so that's step number one. Every healer must have that. And I'm surprised, I'm shocked, that a lot of times healers really rush that process of connecting to the divine. Because without that connection, it's like you're not connected to source. You're not connected to who you are. You know, at the greatest level of your reality, you're not connected to creation, if you will. And without that connection, you know, you're going through rubrics, if you will, or you're going through mechanics, or you're just dealing with vibrational energies, but you're not bringing in the most potent and the most powerful vibrational energy, the very source of the universe. Now, my second step is be clear of limiting beliefs. I believe we have a responsibility as healers to be clear of our own limiting beliefs. If you can't clear yourself of a limitation, then you might want to pass the person you're working on to somebody who is clear. In the traditional medical profession, they have the luxury of being congested with all the reports and past studies and statistics and all of that. They have the luxury of having that. So that provides them with their belief system, and rightfully so. I mean, that's the system in which they work. But you, as a spiritual healer, you do not have the luxury, in my view, of having those limiting beliefs. Personally, I remember a woman I've talked about before that came to me, and she had a son that was 10 years old. She was Armenian, and I've talked about this story, so I won't belabor it, but she had cancer throughout her entire body. She had stage 4 cancer. They gave her no hope. They simply said, you do not have a chance of healing and recovery. The only thing you have a chance of, the only thing you can do, is extend your life a little bit longer through chemotherapy and radiation. She had already had her breasts removed, you know, in an earlier cancer episode, and apparently some of the cancer had metastasized throughout her lymphatic system. So she didn't speak an ounce of English. I didn't expose myself to any of her limiting beliefs, if she had any. I don't know if she did or not. I had an interpreter, and I simply did the work. I became absolutely certain, as I am with every single person that I work with, that the results that I'm working to obtain are going to manifest. It's an absolute certainty. There's no limiting belief. If I have a limiting belief, or if I have a doubt, or anything like that, I just back off. And I usually don't have those problems. But I would simply back off and say, I think you need to work with someone else. I think it's getting clear. Getting clear. Look, we all have past belief systems. We've all seen physical reality. And so when we have this physical reality in our mind, and it's part of our subconscious mind, and part of our past belief system, then we're not clear, and everything we do becomes muddied. So that divine white brilliance that we're connected to, that spiritual connection, as it's being transformed and transmuted through us, we're kind of putting up filters because of our limiting belief systems. Getting clear is so important that it not only affects everything you do in the healing process, I think it affects everything you do in your life. Tell me about getting clear. I know that there are banishings and clearing rituals that both of you do, and I share some of those myself, but what else do you do? When somebody comes into you and they have a problem that you've seen before, and maybe you didn't have the results or the outcome that you wanted, how do you clear those past experiences or those limiting beliefs so that you can have an unlimited belief system when you work with them?
Well, Robert, one of the things that I do is I've been healing for a long time with different systems, and when I was a young man of about 19, I got into light healing, and some people that I worked on would be healed, and some people that I didn't work on, you know, or some people I worked on would not be healed. And I couldn't quite figure out why until I realized it was my own doubt that was holding me back. And after experiencing that and perceiving that to a higher level, I realized that I must have the drive to propel myself up forward into the light and gain certainty. And one of the ways that I knew how to do that is that by myself, I can do many things. But with God, I can do everything. And realizing my past mistakes and kind of using that phrase as a mantra and looking around the room with my fellow healers who have the faith reinforces my faith and belief. And that's one of the ways that I do to reinforce and strengthen my intent and my purpose as a healer.
And I know as a healer, you and Sue, especially when the two of you work together, your intent is very, very powerful. So Sue, what do you do? What's your key there?
Well, again, following what Steve said, but it's a matter of knowing that healing will be accomplished, that healing will be granted. I have my own personal little mantra that I go by that says you can only be what you think you are. So as long as I know and think that I am a healer with limitless healing possibilities, then I know I will heal. I've heard it said that those who do not believe in miracles will never receive or see a miracle in their life. And those that do believe in miracles will absolutely see and experience miracles in their life. And that is what I live by and certainly what I heal with.
That's such a powerful truth. You know, if you are a believer in miracles, you will see miracles and you will find them. If you don't believe miracles, you'll never run into one, even if it happens right before your eyes. By the way, let me pause for a moment and just simply say that next week our show is going to be on Wednesday because I'm going to be flying out Thursday for New York. So we're going to do a show Wednesday, and it'll be 7 o'clock West Coast time. It'll be a little bit later, but it's on how to invoke miracles in your life. And I hope you'll join me on the Secret Temple next week, how to invoke miracles in your life. And I want to remind everyone that I will be in New York on the 21st and 22nd, Saturday and Sunday, for the Ruach Healing Method. This is a certification workshop, 1 and 2. And if you are interested, you can simply learn more by going to www.ruachhealing.com. RuachHealing.com. And I would love to have you there and join the rest of us as we spend an entire weekend just submerged in healing light and healing energies. And we had a great one just last weekend in Chicago. It was absolutely wonderful. Well, now we move on to the third attribute that it's absolutely essential every healer must have. Good healers discover the flow of the universe, and they use it to their advantage. Great healers, those who create what others would call miracles, move beyond the flow to the highest state of consciousness. In other words, they raise in consciousness. So the good healer goes with the flow of the universe, figures out how to use the flow of the universe. The great healer raises beyond the flow of the universe to a higher state of consciousness. And it's from this summit, from the summit of the mountain, that they create the flow of the universe. They become co-creator with the universe. I like the story because it illustrates so well. When the Roman centurion told Jesus that he did not have to come into his home to heal his servant, Jesus said, well, take me to your home and I'll heal your servant. The Roman centurion said, no, you don't have to come into my home. Simply speak the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus marveled at this man's understanding of how the universe worked. He marveled at this man's understanding. He was amazed at his level of faith. At that moment, then the centurion's servant was healed. Why? Because the centurion said, look, we don't have to work with the flow of the universe. We can move beyond the flow and create our own flow. That's what it's about. Becoming a creator. Becoming a co-creator with the infinite. In the invocation, the ancient invocation of Tehuti, it says, he is in me and I am in him. The full power of the infinite source is in you. And you are in the full power of the infinite source. Incredible. You have incredible power. When are you going to release that power? When are you going to let go of your limitations and begin creating the world that you want, creating the life you want, creating the miracles you need, creating the flow of the universe that will bring about a new reality for the person that you are working on, the healing that they deserve and expect? Well, we do that with the Ruach Healing Method. We teach that you become a co-creator with the universe. Steve, you want to comment on that? You want to go with that a little bit?
Well, in the Ruach Healing Method, you're invoking specific Sephirothic spheres of energy on the Tree of Life. You're becoming attuned to them. And then at other times, you're also taking on a specific God form, which is even more specific energies of the universe. All of these energies vibrating in, around you, is an act and a form of elevation. And while the intent is going on, where you are administering the energies to the patient, you are constantly vibrating at a higher and higher level until you are elevated where your mind is somewhere else, where your mind is up close to God, where you have a sense that you are right next to him, and yet you are still in the room, and God's energy is flowing through you, sending his loving and healing light down to that patient.
It's like the prayer of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. And, you know, and that energy is flowing through you, but at the same time, you are redirecting it, because when we use God forms, if you're pagan, that's fine, but if you're not, we are simply using energy archetypes based on the ancient Egyptians, okay? And these energy archetypes are ways of recreating the flow of the universe for that individual who is part of your microcosm, who is part of your reality, recreating the flow of the universe so that they can receive physical healing and relief and renewal. Would you go with that, Sue? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. By whatever names you call to the divine or to the archetypes or to the God forms, you are calling to this higher level and elevating yourself to this state where you are truly connected with the divine and bringing that through you to the specific area of the body of the patient that needs the healing. And I believe that that is really, like you said, the absolute key to healing, to destroying the disease, to creating anew the cells, the blood cells, the tissues. It's been proven, even through medical tests, that Ruach healing works and works tremendously, amazingly. People who have cysts have no cyst in 2 weeks, and people with a low blood count come back with a normal blood count in a week. And it's through that connection to the divine that we are able to tap into something so miraculous.
Right, and it's not only the connection, but redirecting and recreating, acting as a creator, having a sense of authority. This is important because I had somebody who practices what we might call magic. You know, and of course, I come from the Golden Dawn school, and we teach magic in the Golden Dawn. And they came up to me and they go, Robert, healing is not magic. And I said, well, look, somebody comes to me that has stage 4 cancer, and 6 weeks later has no trace of it. I call that magic. You can call it whatever you want. I don't care what you call it. It still works, and that person's life has changed, but more importantly, your life has changed, because once the healer realizes the outrageous, enormous, awesome power that they have the ability to manipulate and use in the healing process, they begin to learn, aha, I can apply this to other areas of my life. I can apply this to my finances. I can apply this to my own health. I can apply this to my relationships, et cetera, et cetera. It just goes on and on. So healing in every area of your life and healing people all over the world, it's a wonderful experience. I want to remind people again that if they want information on the Ruach Healing Method 1 and 2, we're going to be in New York City on the 21st and 22nd March 2009. Visit me at my website. Get that information now. Ruach, R-U-A-C-H, healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, .com. Or visit me at robertzink.com, where we have a new blog going up regularly. We have all kinds of information. There's a cornucopia of information on that website. I think we're even going to have a video of this broadcast. Okay. Our next on the list, every healing experience is new. The past does not equal the future. I think that it's absolutely critical that when I walk into a room, when I go to somebody's house, that I not carry my past healing experiences into that? Sure, I have the knowledge. Certainly, I have the training. I have the skills. I have the confidence. I've developed the connection. I have all the tools available. I have this massive toolbox, if you will, available that I use. But I approach every healing experience as new. The past does not equal the future. You want to comment on that?
Well, I totally agree with you. You can't think any other way because you have people coming in into our temple, and they're coming to be healed, and they're all individuals. And they have all these afflictions, and each one has an affliction. Okay, this person might have cancer, this person might have cancer of the same thing, but they may not have gotten it the same way. Their physical and emotional makeup is different. So each case is absolutely different.
Well, yes. Yeah, because that's a very good point, Steve. I mean, I think that's essential. Maybe, Susan, you want to run with that, but two people can have the same kind of cancer. They could have even got it the same way as far as both smoking, for example, physically. But they had different emotional connections, they had different mental connections, and they had different spiritual connections. Am I right or wrong on this?
Right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What he said, kind of, because everybody carries with them their emotional makeup and their emotional scars, and everything that is a disease could possibly, very possibly, and probably be attributed to some type of emotion. So each person, as Steve said, has developed these diseases for a specific reason. Even certain diseases that would not normally be attributed to emotion, there's certainly an emotion that is supporting that disease. So it's important for the healer to also begin to see that person as a whole, not just that one part of their body that happens to hold the disease, but to see them as a complete person and know that we really need to get to their root cause. And if there are dark emotions, rock healing can remove those also, something we haven't really touched on too heavily. But we can get to those and replace them with divine white light, and it's quite miraculous to see someone leave who came in with a very heavy heart and a very, very dark type of spirit, very sad, and leave with hope and renewal.
Now I want to keep the listeners aware that these principles or these attributes apply to our Reiki healer friends. They apply to our EFT healer friends. I don't care what form of healing you do. I don't care if you do shamanic healing, Hawaiian types of healing, hermetic healing. It makes no difference to me. The attributes are universal. They are universal, and they flow freely across the board. And so these attributes that we're talking about, these seven attributes, and we'll recap them briefly before the show's over, they're absolutely essential that every healer has to have if they're going to be effective. Now, we just got a question on the chat room. He says, you know, can Ruach healing heal my sciatic nerve? And where I would begin with this person is I would begin with changing their level of belief, their level of expectation, because I think that's important. When a person's at the level of, and that's not uncommon, most people are, when a person is at the level of, can this do something, that means it possibly can't. And the truth of the matter is that the universe, divine source, flowing through us and us recreating it and redirecting it like artists, we can do anything. All things are possible. I don't believe in limiting beliefs. The people that I associate with that are in my sphere of sensation, they don't believe in limiting beliefs. So the first thing I'd want to do before I even began or even started working with somebody is I would talk about changing that limiting belief from can it to I'm certain it will. I expect it. I expect Reiki healing. I expect EFT. I expect, you know, acupuncture, whatever you're using to heal my sciatic nerve problem. Does that make sense? Getting the person to a level of expectation, because that's where you and I have to be as healers, right?
Correct.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next point. Number five, the closer my connection to the person I am helping, the more help I will automatically give. How many times have we run into healers who want to keep this medical sense of separation? This medical sense of separation. That's fine for Western medicine, because Western medicine is dealing with statistics and probabilities. And I think that's great. You need that sense of separation when you're dealing with statistics and probabilities. The spiritual healer cannot afford to be disconnected, to disconnect themselves from working with the person that needs healing. The person that you are working with is a spirit, a soul filled with hopes and dreams and fears and apprehensions. You need to know them, or at least tap into them or connect with them. The concept of detachment does not work for spiritual healers. We must know that on a deep level, we are really at the deepest, most profound level, we are really healing ourselves. Therefore, the more I can feel, the more I see and hear and know about the person I am healing, the more effective I will be in healing myself. That person is part of my reality. That person is part of my sphere of sensation. Am I right? I mean, that's not some person off in a different galaxy. Just because that a person gives the illusion in the physical plane of being separate or detached from me, really, that person on a quantum level even, that person is a part of me. We're all connected, intimately connected. And so I think I need to connect deeper with myself through that other person, in order to be a more effective healer. I'd like to hear your comments, Susan, because I know you're very intuitive. You're very good at connecting with people.
Yeah, I agree. There is really no healing without connection. It is essential, and it's essential to see that light in each person who is your patient that you're healing, see that light of God in them. But to go even further than that and realize that we're really all one, even beyond brothers and sisters, we are all one creation. And if I survive better, then you survive better. If I have a better life, you have a better life. It's a big ripple effect. There can be absolutely no walls, no judgment, no thought of how that person, you know, possibly brought an illness on themselves. It all has to be completely set aside, and the light of the divine shines in their heart as it shines in yours. And that's where I take it. And that person in front of me could be my child, could be my mother, my grandmother. They really are. We really are all one. It doesn't matter. So the more I heal them, I agree with you, the more I am healed. And we're all one, so we have to keep that flow going through the healing process.
I think that's critical. Steve, what say you on this? I mean, I know that you and I have worked together in healing people, and I know that you connect on a very, very intimate level with people as well.
Well, I think it goes along with what you were talking about earlier, which was, you know, can you heal without a connection to the divine? Well, you can't. If you don't have a connection with the divine, you can't heal. And the same thing goes for the patient. If you don't have a connection with your patient, then you're not going to heal either. So I always find that once I elevate myself to that highest connection of the divine, that and I start moving into the patient and working with the patient and delving into the problems and the negativity that's within them, I can't help but feel being absorbed into them and into their aura and feeling their feelings. And the deeper I go, the deeper connected I am, the more intent that I have of being this vessel for God to use for this person, the deeper the connection I build with the patient. So it's definitely, in my book, it's definitely vital.
Now we've connected with this person, and in some of the ways that we connect are with our five senses. But we have to move beyond that. We have to connect with our five senses, but at some level, we have to take all that information of connecting with the five senses, and we have to synergize it into a type of gnosis, a type of knowingness. And so number six is knowingness, moving beyond your five senses. Once you, as a healer, are in a deep state of meditation, you're involved in the healing process, and you're going to want to allow your senses to connect and then drift away. Work from a pure state of knowing. Knowing is beyond words. It's beyond thoughts. It's beyond images. It's beyond ideas. It's a sense of inner certainty, a sense of inner certainty. You just know this is what you need to do in order to attract healing or in order to eradicate disease. You know it. It becomes certain. You've done muscle testing. You've done spiritual testing. You've tested on a number of levels. And now you need to throw it all out at some point, don't you? You need to just kind of toss it out and say, I've done all that. I've taken all that information, I've synthesized it, and now it's just me with the divine working through me, and I just know, I have no doubt, this is what I need to do to help this person find relief, to find freedom from pain, to find empowerment, to find emotional healing, to have a new life, to be able to walk again, see again. Am I right? I mean, at some point, you just have to do it.
Absolutely. This is crucial, and this is the point where healing occurs. This is the point where everything changes, where you are tapped into the divine, where you have the knowledge and everything is flowing through you, and it is quite a miraculous state to be in. And hard to describe, like you said. There are no words. So I don't have much more to say about it than that, but it is an incredible moment to become that point.
Yeah, it's that moment. It's that moment when all of a sudden you walk out of working with somebody and you go, aha.
Yeah.
Aha. Yeah. Yes. yes, aha, I can't explain it. It's a knowingness. It's beyond words. I just know that I'm on the right track and that this person is now going to renew their life. Exciting. I mean, this is exciting. And I'm talking about all kinds of healing. I do miracle mentoring every day with people. And a lot of what I do are people that are leading so-called normal lives, but they're battered inside. I was talking with one woman the other day. She's been battered by her husband. Are you telling me she doesn't need healing? She's still there, being battered, being emotionally abused. She needs healing, doesn't she? He needs healing. The family needs healing. The children need healing. Now, maybe they don't have cancer. Maybe they haven't lost a leg and an arm through a motorcycle accident, as I ran into some 10 years ago, when we actually had a man start growing bone back. And they were so astounded by what was taking place. They put him into the Starfish program at the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA. You know, maybe it's not that kind of healing, but it's still painful. And look, my first job is to eradicate pain. And part of eradicating pain is empowerment. When I'm healing somebody, and when you're healing people, and when you're working with someone, you're empowering their life emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, in every way. Well, the last one may be a little bit complicated, but we'll get through it. I call it knowing the stages of light. And different types of healers will express this in different way. But, you know, a healing process, it goes through all kinds of cycles. And so light, to the Western healer, to the Western mystic, is spelled Lux, or L-V-X. L is the beginning stages. This is called the maternal stage, the birthing stage, or in the ancient mysteries, the Isis stage. Okay, it's new. Now, every situation is different. Sometimes the disease is in the birthing stage, and hopefully every disease that you ever run into will be in the birthing stage because it's easier to eradicate. Every sickness will be in the birthing stage. Why do people wait until they have pneumonia before they deal with a common cold? Get rid of it right now. Do it today. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. Take care of it in the birthing stage. But if you don't know the stages that a disease can be in or that the healing process can be in, you're going to be lost. The second stage is the V stage, and it stands for Typhon and Apophis, and this is kind of the destruction, the death stage. Well, you know, crazy as it may sound, this is a good stage. I like illnesses to be in the V stage. That's where they begin to die. Okay? Now, the illness, the disease, can be in the V stage, while the person that I am working on can be moving into the next stage of light, which is the X stage, rebirth, resurrection, a new life, a new chance, a new opportunity, a second go at it. I think it's important that we not only know what stage we're at in the healing process overall, but what stage the disease is in, what stage the healing is in, and how the two are matching up and how they work together. This is really synergizing at the highest point because ultimately we're working with divine white brilliance. We're working with light. We're working with spirit. We're working with energy and vibration. We need to know where we're at. Some people say, well, it's a higher energy of vibration. How do you know it's a higher energy? Who told you? Well, I just thought it was. Well, maybe it isn't. And by knowing the stages of light, LVX. Now, other systems will have different ways of measuring that. But, you know, whatever system you use, at every process in that system, you need to know where you're at. I think that's absolutely important. We've got 9 minutes. We have the chat room open. If anybody has any questions, they can go ahead and ask questions. Do you have any comments, Susan, on the stages of light, the stages of the healing process?
Well, I was just thinking as you were talking about the LVX stage that, you know, it's critical for the patients to continue to come back and follow through with their healing. Typically, one healing session doesn't cover the problems that someone will present with. However, usually they'll leave feeling so much better initially that they will want to come back. We'd like to see our patients once a week so that we can go through these stages with them, and you can see this happening, and you can see it evolving, and you can see actually the emotion and the disease begin to die and be replaced with positive and with positive emotions and positive feelings about themselves and even towards the disease instead of their disease. They begin to disown it. So I completely agree with you as you stated the LVX stage, and then you go into the rebirth stage where, you know, they're made anew and they begin to live their lives differently and never see that disease again. It is quite a miracle, Robert.
It absolutely is. Okay, we have 7 minutes left. We'll take some questions. Otherwise, we'll just keep talking about how to empower your life through these 7 stages, and we'll recap them. First off, I think that's a good idea. What do you think, Steve? I think we should just kind of recap them briefly because some people tuned in late. Connection
sure,
to the divine, number one. Right?
Let's recap them, and we'll take it from there.
Got to have that connection. It all begins there. Number two, be clear of limiting beliefs. 3, create the flow of the universe. 4, every healing experience is new. The past does not equal the future. 5, the closer my connection to the person I am helping, the more help I will automatically give. 6, knowingness, moving beyond my 5 senses. And 7, know the stages of light. Did I leave out any stages? Did I leave one out? Maybe there's an 8th.
Well, you didn't really leave any out, but we talked about the aha moment and the knowingness that the healer experiences. But we never really talked about the aha moment that the patient has. And I think it's very important.
Yeah. Go with
and
that. Share that.
I think it's a step that really catapults the person into healing at a faster pace. Because you're working on the patient, you have that connection with the divine, you have the connection with the patient, you're moving out the negativity within them, you're feeling the energies moving, you have the knowingness and that aha, and all of a sudden they feel it, the pain is removed, and they have that aha moment. And they have, for that moment, a knowingness, saying, this is working. This is something. And I think that's something that's very important in the whole healing process, is when the patient has that moment.
Absolutely. I think that is a beautiful, and you can see it in their eyes. You can feel it in their aura. And in the way they behave, and in the sound of their voice, and in the gait of their walk, it all comes together. Okay, somebody pointed out here in the chat room, I thought I'd mention this, that there was a Reiki teacher that said earlier that having ceiling fans on throw off your energy. Well, they could, I suppose. There's optimal conditions for healing. There's optimal conditions. Having a clean energy, having energy that's been cleared out, and all of that. But if you're only working at the level of a ceiling fan. You're not getting up high enough in your work. You need to work beyond that. Look, when the Master Jesus went into the leper colonies, there were all kinds of negative forces around him. Most of those leper colonies were in graveyards, and there were people screaming and yelling and just lower vibrational energy everywhere, people crying. I mean, he could have said, look, I got to take you out of the graveyard to do the work on you. Too low of an energy here. Or he moves beyond the lowness of the physical world to the highness of his holy guardian angel, his spiritual connection. I think that's the key. I think that's an absolute key. We'll take any more questions that you have. I want to mention something, though. I have something fun. Something fun. We did a CD, a couple of years ago. It's called A Candid Interview with Frater PDR and VH Frater LVX. It's two adepts in the Western mystery tradition, and one of them works in emergency rooms. And his job, I forget exactly what his job was, but it deals with helping people breathe. And it's a wonderful interview because every single person, and he was given permission by his hospital, he was given permission to practice healing on people as long as he had their permission. So most of these people were on life support or had some kind of serious accident, and a lot of them were fighting for their very lives. The truth about healing. It's a one-hour interview. It's absolutely astonishing, and it's, in fact, it's quite shocking the number of people where the doctors washed their hands and walked out, and this man kept working, and the people got better. I want to give this CD out to every single person that attends the Ruach Healing Method 1 and 2 in New York, Saturday and Sunday, March 21st, 2009. Now, if you want information on it, go to www.ruachhealing.com or www.robertzenk.com. I'm going to give you this CD. You come into that workshop. It's yours absolutely free. I also invite you, I want to thank you, Susan and Steve, for being my guests this afternoon. It's great to have you with me.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Robert.
I want to invite everyone to visit my website, www.robertzenk.com. And I have articles, blogs, all kinds of free gifts. Right now I'm giving out the 21 mystical secrets that everybody needs to maximize the potential in their life. You can just get that for free. There's no obligation. There's no sales letter or any of that kind of stuff that goes with it. But I want you to go there. Take a look around. We have some wonderful CDs available, like Secrets of the Mystical and others. So visit me on my website, www.robertzenk.com. Next week we'll be talking about miracles. We'll see you then. Until then, peace and prosperity.